Hi, this is Pete McLeod. We're here at Nimmo Field, where the Frederick Keys play high A minor league baseball. And we're with the manager, Ryan Miner, who's his second time around. Ryan, for the Keys, you were here in 2013, and you're back.
Yeah, I am back. I'm excited. I enjoy my experience here. And fortunately, they've asked me to come back up here. The Baltimore Orioles did. And so far, so good. It's been an enjoyable experience.
Good baseball fans here in the Frederick area. And you were in the majors for a while as you had parts of four seasons, I guess, with the Orioles. And what was the other team?
Montreal Expos. Played a full season up there with Montreal.
So it's the Washington Nationals today, of course.
So
your experiences there, what were your experiences in the major leagues like?
It was enjoyable. Obviously didn't stay as long as I wanted to or as anybody wants to, but I one of the few players ever get to play in the big leagues, and I'm real proud to be able to say that. But I'm real fortunate to be able to get to the big leagues, and it's one of those things that's kind of a highlight of your career. Looking back, with your kids and everybody, that you be able to say that you're a big league ball player. But I enjoyed my time, and it's one of those things you can pass along to your kids and all the stories that you have.
And one story, you actually replaced, I guess, Cal Ripken at the end of his incredible consecutive playing streak there.
Yeah, it was. It was one of those nights that will always be, obviously special to me. But, it was a night of celebration for Cal. He decided to not play the last home game of the year in 1998. He wanted to do it in front of the home fans, and I just happened to be the guy there and be fortunate to be a kind of a footnote in his big night. And that was one of those things that I always remember, and a lot of people always remember, and I still talk about.
Did you get to talk to Cal? Did you see what his feelings were at the end of this thing, this incredible streak?
Not really. It was one of those things. He didn't tell anybody, so I didn't know until right before game time that I was going to play. But after the fact, there's been several times we've talked, including, in spring training a little bit. I got to see him because his son's with us now in our organization. You just kind of talk about little things like that. What were you thinking? What was you going, going through your head? But, I was able to play with him for a little bit, a couple years after that. So there was always conversation about that kind of thing.
Now, you've been in the organization, the Orioles organization, I believe, for parts of 13 years, pretty close to that, and you were a manager here. You've had various jobs, and, of course, what is your goal in this? I would assume it would be to be manager of the Orioles.
Obviously, your goal is to get to the big leagues in some capacity. As a young manager or young coach, but I've been doing this for a while now. But my main thing is just to be a guy that can try to develop these players. And you're around young kids every day, and you want to instill in them work ethic and accountability and the ability to be able to play in the big leagues and help the big league ball club. That's our number one goal here. But for me, it's personally, you always want to get to the big leagues in some capacity. Like I said, get back there. Because that's kind of the pinnacle of where everybody wants to be.
Of course, I always ask every manager that I've interviewed this, but is there a way you could tell? Now, you got young athletes here, most of whom have probably been maybe the best athlete in the history of their school or their town. Or as you look out on the field, you see these are all stars. This is probably an all-star team, you see. But how do you tell? Can you tell which ones have the potential to make it to the big leagues?
Sometimes you can. It's really tough at this level. You can't, it's hard to project out how guys are going to be, because there's some late bloomers as well as guys that you see right away that are going to be big league players. But it goes down to what our scouts do. You look at tools, you look at what they can do offensively and defensively, and little things like that. And it stands out. You'll be able to notice right away who has the better tools of the bunch. But collectively as a group, in my job, so to speak, is to make sure that everybody does this as well as they can in all areas. So, but again, you can look out there and see guys that are maybe have a little bit better tools here and there and project higher. But again, there's always that late bloomer that comes out of nowhere that you just don't see.
Now, in this year's team, who would the fans here in the Frederick area, who would they watch? Already three or four guys with stats, but you don't know how long they're going to continue like that.
Yeah, there's a few. I mean, you got to look at a guy like Randolph Gasway, who's repeating this level. Jomar Reyes has been here for a couple years. Those are guys in the middle of the lineup that are going to produce runs, and they're going to be fun to watch at the plate. But guys like Cole Billingsley, who's going to be our leadoff guy pretty much all the year, he's just one of those type of type of baseball players you want to have on your ball club. He does everything he takes to win and to help his team. And you know, but we're not really a prospect-loaded ball club, so to speak, as you would see some other guys, some other organizations might have some more prospects that people kind of label. But we have a group of guys that are really willing to play together, and they get along together, and they've meshed pretty well. So that's the biggest thing that we can say about this club is they're kind of a gritty group, and that offensively and defensively we're going to be pretty fun to watch, I hope.
Now, in your experience in the Orioles organization, is there two or three players that are up at the big leagues now that you worked with, and what was it like when they were at the lower echelon?
You know, all of our homegrown guys, I pretty much had. You know, Manny, I had Jonathan Scope and Trey Mancini and Chance Cisco and a lot of those, and Zach Britton, and a lot of the pitchers that have came through our organization I had at one point. And those guys, you know, when they were young kids playing down there, they were heads and shoulders above what you would expect to see for these guys. You know, have that long travel to where you have to wake up the next day after a 13-hour bus ride and try to play a ball game. But the other organizations that we face in this league, they're really known to have a really good farm systems, and so far we've seen that out of the clubs that we've played. And you know, but for us to compete, we just got to match what we see on the field to the other side and go from there.
We're talking to Ryan Miner. He's the new manager of the Frederick Keys as they start their 2018 season. And what a, of course, as this show was airing just a few nights ago, the opening night, very successful. Tell us about that. It's a 5-3 victory, I think.
Yeah, in Myrtle Beach, you know, we did have a really good, nice night. We had good pitching. We got some timely hitting late in the game that gave us some runs and some opportunities to hold the lead. And then, you know, we got two guys at the back end of our bullpen that are going to come out, and not sure how long they're going to be here, and Brandon Klein and James Teague. And if we have a lead late in the game, if they're available to pitch that night, we feel pretty good about our chances. And it just happened to go that way that opening night. And so, you know, that was pretty special. You don't have one opening night, and for us to get a win, that was very good for us.
Brandon Klein, now he's a local kid out of Thomas Johnson High School. Just terrible luck with injuries after a great career at the University of Virginia, and of course at the high school level. But what do you see? He's 27 years old. He's a little bit older than the other guys, I guess. But what do you see? What are his chances now? You're going to be using him as relief, I guess.
Yeah, that, you know, he hadn't pitched in almost 2 years, and that's why he's back here. He's not going to be here probably all year, but for him not having pitched that much, it's tough for an organization to send him back to the AA level where it's a little bit different. You get used a little bit different than you would here, where he's kind of got scripted innings and then get his feet wet and get thrown and have some confidence and build some confidence and be able to get to the next level and then go from there. So the main thing for him is just to be able to pitch, and that's what he's done so far and what we're continuing to see out of him. And you know what, his stuff is just as good as it's been when he was a starter, and you know, we really like him out of the bullpen, and sometimes that's just the way things happen. You know, but for him to compete and continue to move up, he's going to have to pitch out of the bullpen at the time.
Now, I know I talked to a manager before at this level, and they said, well, you can't only be, you know, a balls and strikes and a skills guy. Sometimes with these young kids in their late teens, early 20s, you got to be like their dad.
Yeah, there's several instances about that. Yeah, I mean, these kids are sometimes on their own for the first time, or you know, the second time in their whole lives, and you know, you do a lot of mentoring. You know, I know we have a pretty good staff put together here, coaching staff, as far as guys that have been through the ringer and been around a while, and they understand what these kids are going through. And especially when you have the kids from the Latin American countries that never see their families this summer, or never get, you know, they're just so far away from home, and you know, you really have to do a good job of staying on top of things, and you know, keeping everybody kind of constant, because then you have to deal with the failure of playing every night, and you're going to have failures at the plate. You're have failures on the mound, because it's basically a game of failures. You know, it's one of those things where, you know, 3 out of 10 at the plate, you're a Hall of Famer. You know, 30% is great. So but you have to find and make sure you stay on top of these guys. And if there's ever problems, you got to kind of, like you said, be their dad and be a father figure to them, or brother, or just whatever they have in their lives that they need to take care of.
And how about you now? How did you get started in sports, or what was your background? Where were you from? It's always interesting to find out a guy that's been in baseball just about all his life. How did you actually get started?
Yeah, you know, I grew up in a small town in Oklahoma, western Oklahoma, in a town of about 500 people, graduated with 18.
Where about the panhandle?
It was right, kind of right in western off of I-40 between Oklahoma City and Amarillo.
Okay.
So
right,
right there,
in Elk City or down there.
You know what? I'm 16 miles north of Elk City. That's okay, where I grew up. Yep. So, you know, I played sports growing up. I played baseball and basketball my whole life. We didn't have football. I probably played that. You know, but I just started playing American Legion baseball in the summers, and ended up getting drafted out of high school by the Baltimore Orioles. But I didn't sign. I went to college to play at the University of Oklahoma to play baseball and basketball there, and ended up getting drafted again out of college. In both basketball and baseball, I got drafted by the Sixers and Philadelphia Sixers, and then by the Orioles again, and then I ended up, you know, doing both for a little bit, but then ultimately just playing baseball. And I played baseball with the Orioles until I got traded in 2000, in the offseason of 2000. You know, finished my career in 05 and then started coaching in 06. So kind of been doing this for a long time. So it's just one of those things where, you know, once you start doing it and been doing it this long, it's kind of all you know. So
basketball, big time there. You know, did you play for the University of Oklahoma?
Yeah, I did. I played 4 years there. I was a Big 8 Player of the Year my junior year. I was an All-American my junior and senior year, and was able to get drafted by the 76ers. So, and then the second round of the 96 draft. So it was same year Allen Iverson and all those guys were drafted. So, so ended up going to camp with them, playing the summer league and starting the year there. But ultimately, I started playing baseball already. So I ended up signing another contract just to play baseball with the Orioles. So that's where when I stopped playing basketball.
What was it like going to basketball camp with guys with those kind of names and talent and everything? I mean, were you a little bit awed by that, or did you have the confidence to go right out there and play with them?
Oh no, I had the confidence. You know, I was I was just I was an All-American just like they were. So yeah. Some of those guys that were drafted that year. So it's, you know, you were kind of in the same level going into that camp, but you know, talent level with like guys like Allen Iverson, Jerry Stackhouse was on that team, and Derek Coleman. I mean, you're looking at a lot of guys that are probably going to be in the Hall of Fame at some point, and I know Allen is already, but it was a great experience. It was a neat experience that not very many people get to do, and then end up playing baseball. So, you know, it was fun. It was something I always remember, and guys will always look back and talk about all to this day.
Well, it's still interesting. Just I could talk to you all night about that. But also, when you came you were in baseball, and there must have been a point you realized, you know, maybe your future is in coaching rather than playing. And was that a hard thing because you'd been a great athlete all your life?
It was. You know, you always think you can play. You know, towards the end of my career playing wise, I just didn't feel like hanging on and playing in the minor leagues for a long time, because at that point I wasn't in the big leagues, and it was tough getting jobs for some of us out there. And so I just decided, you know, I talked to my wife. We were having a kid at the time, and my first daughter, and we, you know, I just decided to do something a little bit more stable. And fortunately, I was able to coach a couple years in the Atlantic League, and then the Orioles called and offered me a position. So I've been doing that ever since. But it is a difficult position because you think you're going to be able to play to your 50 when you're playing, but then reality sets in. You have to pick a path and choose it. And I decided to get into coaching a little bit earlier than normal, and then a lot of guys do. And you know, fortunately for me, it's been a pretty fun ride.
And finally, the facilities here. Now you're in Frederick again. Facilities here, Nimio Field and the area. Are you satisfied with them? Do you have you had a lot? I see all the guys working out there. They seem to be having a good time.
Oh yeah, it's always a good time. Oh, this is a hitter's ballpark, so I know our position players like this place. But you know, the fans are great here. This is a great area. You know, you're just far enough away from Baltimore and to be able to get to Baltimore when you want to, but it's just far enough away where you're getting a lot of the local fans that are big baseball fans here, and the experience has been great for me. I mean, the facilities are fine. It's minor league baseball. You got to deal with what you have, and you know, we've played in a lot of worse places, but you know, the field plays well here. They do a great job with having the team being a part of the community, and you know, so far so good. And like I said before, my first experience here was enjoyable, and this one's going to be just the same.
Have to ask you about the travel. Everybody complains about the travel. Is it really that bad?
Not so much in this league. The South Atlantic League, where I've been for many years, is triple the time worse than this travel. You got some the farthest team is Myrtle Beach, you know, 7 or 8 hours, and we've been there already. We don't have to go back. Now everything's going to be, you know, a couple hours here, a couple hours there, you know, the longest being maybe 5 or 6 hours. So that's nothing compared to some of the other trips you're going to see in other leagues. So it's going to be easier for these guys to be able to perform on a nightly basis without having to worry about that 13-hour trip that you would see in other leagues.
All right, well, good luck, Ryan Miner. Good luck with the Frederick Keys, and it's great talking to you.
Thank you very much.
We are back on Frederick County Sports Weekend, brought to you by Premier Dental, and also by Dr. Guy Cappuccino. We're talking to Brandon Klein, Thomas Johnson High School baseball star, and then a big star at the University of Virginia, and on many tournament teams there, and a draft pick of the Baltimore Orioles. And yes, you were a two-time, you were a pick of the Red Sox first. Tell us about that. You got out of Thomas Johnson High School. You were drafted right out of high school, weren't you?
Yeah, I was. I was drafted in the sixth round by Boston, and it was a great experience. But I told my mom I promised her I'd go to school, I'd go to college, and that was kind of the route I went. So I was very humble and very fortunate to be picked by the Red Sox, a great organization. Then obviously went to school for a couple of years and then ended up here with Baltimore.
How was the University of Virginia experience now? Because that just looks like so much fun to play college baseball.
Oh, absolutely. You can't beat many places or campuses as nice as Charlottesville. I learned a lot both on the field and off the field at UVA with the coaching staff. And you can kind of see that now with the amount of talent coming through the University of Virginia and coming into pro ball. You know, they have a really good program. Guys are ready for professional baseball once they come out and really just getting a head start with their career.
And you were, I believe, All-American, All-ACC a couple of times, right?
Yeah, I had a couple accolades when I was in there. I didn't do too bad. But like I said, I give a lot of credit to the coaching staff that was there and also the teammates. I played with some really good players. A lot of guys are in professional baseball now and a couple guys in the big leagues. So we had a really nice staff and collective group as a team when I was there.
Go back to now your youth growing up in Frederick, Maryland, and you went to Thomas Johnson High School. How did you get into the baseball track? Did you play other sports? I talked to just Ryan Miner, your manager. He was a big basketball star at the University of Oklahoma. I mean, that's big time. Did you play other sports too?
Yeah, so I actually got introduced to baseball when I was, I think, like four. I played T-ball when I was like four or five. So at a young age, I got introduced to baseball. And my dad was always kind of the athletic type. He played football, basketball. I think he did a little bit of track in his high school days. And then growing up, I did pretty much the same thing. I did football. I did basketball. I played like a year soccer. Baseball always stuck. And then once I actually got into school, I actually decided to do indoor track in the winter just to try to stay relatively in shape for baseball. And I think that actually helped me out a lot, not only just with the conditioning aspect, but just the quick twitch muscles that are used in pitching and explosiveness. That definitely, I think, helped me out in my baseball career throughout high school.
Now, the difference, you were at college baseball, now you're playing in the high A minor leagues, and you've played it before the injuries came up, but what the difference between college baseball and the pros, is there a big difference? Because, I mean, they look pretty good when you see them in the College World Series.
Yeah, absolutely. There's definitely a huge difference, and you can definitely tell when you get to high, just the experience of the hitters, they start to put a little bit more of a plan together than in college. There's a lot of free swingers in college that you can kind of maybe sometimes get around, but usually when you get to the high A level, there's usually, you know, 6, 7, 8, 9 quality at bats that you're gonna have to face in a lineup. So you got to make sure that you bring your best every night. You're not going to be 100% every night, but whatever you have that night, you got to get the best that you have. And it's just a lot more about locating, in my opinion, in professional baseball. Guys lay off the pitches that are outside the zone a little bit more than they do in college. I think the zone's a little bigger in college. So that also is the reason why I think professional baseball is a little bit above the college level.
Do you enjoy it now? Which did you enjoy? Did you enjoy high school, college, or the pros? What was the most fun to play?
Oh, man, I enjoy all of it. But I would have to say probably high school just because I got the hit, too. And it was fun in high school because it was good competition, but it was competition where, like, you know, hitting was like, okay, it was fun. I can hit it. I can kind of square the bat up. And once I got to college, I think I saw like 90, 91 a couple times, and I was just like, this is way too fast for me. And then you get here to professional baseball, and you have guys throwing upwards of 100 miles an hour. And it's like those days are usually the ones where I'm glad I'm sitting on the bench as a pitcher. So, but I would have to say, like, the most fun I had was probably definitely in high school.
Now, you came up and you were drafted out of college and by the Orioles and the 65th pick overall. That was a high pick, very high pick when you consider all the players in the United States. The competition, is it awesome when you get into the pros? I mean, did you ever think there were this many really good baseball players?
Oh, absolutely. And I think just getting to play against the best players in the world for the most part. You know, we're all trying to get to the same place. We're all trying to get to the big leagues. So trying to compete against all these guys on a day-to-day basis not only makes us better as, you know, individual baseball players, but even as teammates. You know, we go through the grind of the season a lot. Guys bounce ideas off of each other throughout the season. We're all trying to, you know, get to the same place. And whether I make it there or I don't, I'm trying to help as many teammates as I can along the way. So it's just a really good experience.
Now, you had a hiccup, a bump in your career. You were at 2014 or 15 that you first had the problem?
2015, and I took a nice little three-year hiatus to this year. So, yeah, I had to, unfortunately, have Tommy John surgery in 2015, and then I had to get two cleanup procedures over the last couple years to clean up some things in the arm, and now we're here today.
When did you first notice that there was a problem with the arm? Was that when you first seasoned it with the keys or when you went up to Bowie?
It was most likely in 2015 when I actually kind of felt it go. It was one of those things where I just let the ball go and just felt it didn't feel right. So I was like, you know, maybe it's just, you know, just something that just happened. You know, maybe just go away. And I threw another pitch and it was still there. And then I threw the third pitch and it was even worse. And that was kind of that was it for my season in 2015. I tried to do as many different medical avenues as I could to prolong or avoid surgery, but unfortunately at the end of that year it just came out that I had to get the procedure done, which meant that I missed, you know, half of 2015, and then I was gonna miss all of 2016. So I grinded through the whole like rehab process down there in Sarasota, Florida, and then the next year I thought I was gonna be ready to go, and that's when the other side of my elbow started to bark. So I had to go see unfortunately a couple doctors then, and they finally were able, after the second arthroscopic surgery I had, they were able to kind of figure out what the problem was, and I haven't had any problems since.
Well, that's good. And so far now you've been in a couple of games already. You've done pretty well, and in this early part of the season, you feel like you're good. You're healthy, right?
Oh, absolutely. I felt at the beginning of 2015, I felt like that was my strongest I've ever been, both body-wise, mentally, and all aspects of being an athlete. And I feel that I'm as close to that version of myself as I can possibly be, if not already there. So I'm looking forward to see what the season has in store.
And of course, we were joking. You're 27. I mean, that may seem old to you, but you're awfully young. You got a lot of years ahead of you and a lot of good years, because the 30s, they say, is the peak of the pitcher anyway, so you still have confidence you can possibly make it up to the big team.
Oh, absolutely. I'm just taking it one day at a time. I'm trying to get better, like I said, one day at a time, and I might be the grandpa around here on this team, but that doesn't mean, like I said, I can't help as many guys try to get there as well. So I am the grandfather. I do joke around a lot, but I'm also learning a lot of things from the younger guys. I try to teach them as much as I can about stuff that I know. Not saying I know everything, but just like some things here and there where it maybe comes to pitches or location or just different avenues of what kind of the season or what part of the like, high experience that might happen during a year. So it's definitely been enjoyable.
But of course it had to be a hard thing to get through, and I know you're a better man for it, but it must have been tough. Now, your athletic career had just been, you'd always been one of the best players around and best athletes, and suddenly you're on the sidelines. You can't do anything. You can't help your teammates. You can't, and you must have felt my best years are going away. You must have had bad thoughts like that, but somehow you overcame it, and you're back. How did you do it mentally?
Well, to be honest with you, I give a lot of credit to my wife. She was there through everything. You know, we've been together since high school. And, you know, there was those days, like you said, where it's just like mentally you're just kind of drained. It's kind of like, you know, is this really worth it? She's always been in my corner. She's always kept me as high as I possibly can, always trying to stay positive. And I really give her a lot of credit for that. Without her, I probably wouldn't have been able to get through that. It had been very, very tough mentally. So it was always nice to be able to have her to lean on and to help kind of pick me up when I was feeling down.
I imagine she's in the stands every night, right?
Oh, I wish she was. She's unfortunately back home. But yeah, she was actually able to see my first outing in Myrtle Beach, so she was able to make the drive up. You know, we were talking about she hasn't seen me pitch live since 2014, so it's been, you know, even though I've been hurt for 3 years, she hasn't seen me throw an actual game in four. So that was a special moment. And we also, at the time, my daughter was also there. We have a daughter that's 10 months old. So that was kind of her first baseball game and the first time to see daddy. Even though she won't remember it, it was still a nice experience for her and I.
No, the first that could be the first of her many memories and you like baseball here, and how is it with the guys here? And you seem to be one of the older ones, but you seem to be getting along pretty happy.
Oh, absolutely. Well, the bad thing, well, about me getting hurt was I was hurt, but kind of the good thing about that is I've seen a lot of these guys when they sign and they're down there in the rookie ball in Florida in the GCL, so I've been able to form friendships and relationships with them years ago. So when I'm on this team now, it's not like I'm just an old guy who nobody knows who I am. I've already kind of know these guys and been able to joke around with them like I'm just 21, 22 years old. So we all have good relationships. It's good to be in this locker room because it's a lot of fun. We keep it young, keep it energetic, like to have fun. But at the same time, when the lights come on, when it's game time, we get serious and we know what our job is. So just glad to be part of the Frederick Keys here again for my second stint, and just looking forward to see what the season has.
Well, all the luck in the world to you, Brandon. We'll be watching you.
I appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Brandon Klein of the Baltimore Orioles farm team here in Frederick. And this is the end of our Frederick County Sports Weekend. Thank you for listening. Join us again next week on WFMD.